was there that'll bit the dust. They're not going to be showing back up later. And you may be wondering why I just let that go. Because if I take a deep breath and suck a fly down in my throat, it leaves a nasty taste in my tonsils. Take your Bible, if you will, please. We're going to be looking there. Let me see here. Got it good? It's on already, huh? I must be turning that on unconsciously or something like that. But that's good. Take your Bible, if you will, First Kings chapter 17. First Kings chapter number 17. As we look there in the chapter and you find the place you're able to stand, we'll be looking there in First Kings chapter 17. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, turn thee eastward, hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. And so he went, and he did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And it came to pass that after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it. How good it is to be once again back here in the house of God. Bind the devil, every demon assigned to hinder, we plead the blood of Jesus over this congregation, and we'll thank you in advance for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. In this lesson we're looking at, I want to preach a little while on when heaven is silent. Here you'll find that the word of the Lord came unto Elijah. Remember that? He went and preached to Ahab that there's not going to be any rain anymore. There's not even going to be a dew nor a rain except by my word, thus saith the Lord. And let me say to you, now God has told him, here's what you're going to do. The message has already been delivered, by the way. And the Lord now instructs him, I want you to go eastward and I want you to hide thyself. Boy, that's something, isn't it? You'd think that I want you to go around to everybody and I want you to shout it from the mountain. No, I want you to go eastward. I want you to hide yourself by a brook and you can drink out of the water. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to feed you twice a day. In the morning and in the evening, I'm going to send a raven to bring you bread and flesh. In the lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, is that whenever the message was delivered, his job was done. Now, he didn't stick around to see what was going to happen. He didn't stick around so he could babysit the situation at hand. He didn't stick around trying to figure out a reason that he could cause some results to be able to have. He didn't do that. That's what's wrong with the average Baptist church. Yeah. You know, the average Baptist, can you imagine him sitting alone by the brook Cherith waiting on that raven twice a day? Can you imagine how lonely that might have been? Yeah. But he was with God and obeying God. See, the average Baptist wants to come up with something besides just enjoying the Lord. So they invented vacation Bible school, or they invented, and I'm not against vacation Bible school if that's what you want to get involved in, but don't try to shove a bunch of activities down my throat when I know the Bible said that I'm not to neglect the gift that God stirred me up with on the land of the hands of the presbytery, and that me to give heed to the doctrine of God and give myself wholly unto that. So you see, people get bored. That's why they got to have soul winning a certain night. That's why they got to have family night a certain night. That's even why they got to have date night a certain night. And all that business there. I mean, they ought to be able, if they want to do something here, bring a fly swatter and let's have some fly killing time. I just said to you that aren't people crazy about how they act? You know, they go to one church and they got this activity going. That's the reason why, you know, churches all of a sudden, the Halloween carnival deal, that's out, but they call it a fall festival and have the same get up and the same gadgets that they did at Halloween. You know what's wrong with the average Baptist? You know why you're not happy with what you got? You're worried too much about everybody else's business but your own. I'm going to be preaching about Phariseeism, but I want to wait until all of our Pharisees can be back to normal. Amen. I'll give you one idea. You think it's worldly? Do you think it's worldly for one of these boys here to be able to play a little ball, baseball, and then you turn right around? Yes, I do. Now let's go to the skating rink. God bless you. Thank you very much. See what I'm talking about? Oh, yeah. It's real easy to stand back and point a finger at everybody and ignore exactly what you're doing. These little gals here, you know, that are wearing, sometimes they get a little too skimpy and they wear sleeveless and they wear this and that and all that right there. And let me just tell you something. If that bothers you as a man and you turn around and wear some of them little prissy shorts, Phariseeism, that's what that is. I don't want to get into all of it because I got a list of things, buddy, God's been putting on my heart. And let me tell you right now, is you can like it, lump it, love it, or leave it, but I'm telling you the truth. You ought to just live for God and love God and spend some time with God and find out what God have you to do and enjoy your life and enjoy your wife. See? See, in the lesson that we're looking at, isn't this fun? I'm just telling you right now, is that you can't beat whenever you're looking into the Bible. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out that here's the deal. He didn't have to try to cause any results whatsoever. And by the way, you'll find that he didn't try to babysit that king or anybody else. He was not trying to appease anybody whatsoever. He went in obedience to God and hid himself down by the brook. And I want to tell you something. He wasn't looking for the applause of men. Now, the old Elijah was not an ear tickler. Can you imagine? How'd you like to walk up? And it's easy. It's easy to send the preacher. But it's another story to all of a sudden stand up before a king and to denounce him and say, "Thus saith the Lord." I'm going to tell you, I believe Israel is the people of God. They're apple of his eye. And let me tell you right now, she's blind as a bat. And it don't make any difference how many Christians get together with all of the Israelites. And we ought to be praying for them, God said too. But they've rejected the Lord Jesus Christ is the mess they're in. And they're not going to look unto him until he finally gets and saves their bacon during the Battle of Armageddon. In this lesson that we're looking at, and you can find out, is that Elijah, here's what he said. You've delivered the message. Now I want you to go and hide yourself. You ain't nobody. I bet you they were busy. Did you know when you read the scripture and you begin to look at it, is that Ahab, he sent out people everywhere looking and trying to find old Elijah to see if he could get that reversed. And in fact is, God no doubt knew that he'd be trying to kill old Elijah. So he said, I want you to go and I want you to hide yourself. Now for now, that means there's no more message. For now, that means God's not going to speak anymore. There's going to be no more direction given. There's not going to be any ministering to his soul. There's not going to be no power manifested, no protection. There's no revival that he could fellowship with, no camp meeting that he could go to. There's no company that he can keep. I got to tell you, friend, you better be hooked up with God when you have to be isolated and sitting by yourself somewhere. I imagine that up and down the road of life, you know, I here's what I figured out. And out of all these years, and I've already confessed it, I'm the idiot of the bunch, and everybody else is pretty much normal. Oh, yeah. And get one, oh, yeah, on that, I mean, that's where I'm at. Did you ever notice when people come up with an opinion, it's like an armpit and stinks every now and again, but you ever notice they can't back it up? They can't back it up with any scripture. And if they do, and just look at you dumbfounded, and just like, for instance, you know, that dumb look, they're not going to take the facts. They're just going to believe what they want to believe. You might as well leave somebody like that alone. See? I'm glad I know better, and I just feel sorry for those that don't. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, for now, Elijah's got to go. He's got to sit. He's got to hide over there in the book of 1 Samuel. Don't turn there. But in chapter number 3, in about verse 1 through 3, there was a young man by the name of Samuel, and God used him to be able to give the fellow by the name of Eli, to give him the blessed message of the Lord, because the word of the Lord, there was no open vision, and the word was precious in those days. I got to say to you, there's nothing worse in this world than needing to hear from God at heaven's brass and shut up, and you just can't seem to get through. There's a passage over in the book of Amos, and if you'd like to turn there quickly in the book of Amos, and I'll give you a moment to be able to find that. As I tried, I didn't have a ribbon for that one either, so I'll just flip through over there too. But over there in the book of Amos, we're going to be looking at a passage there in a moment. And it's in chapter number 8. As we look there in the lesson in chapter number 8, about verse number 11. I just got through saying that when You need a touch from God. When you need some information, when you need a message that comes from God, when you need it, there's nothing worse than needing to hear from God, but you can't find him anywhere. In the book of Amos, chapter number 8, verse number 11, behold, the days come, and saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst or for water, but a hearing of the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea and from north even unto the east, and they shall run to and fro and seek for the word of the Lord and shall not find it. In that day shall the fair virgins and the young men faint for thirst. And they that swear by the sin of Samaria, and they say, thy God, O Dan, liveth, and the manor of Beersheba liveth, and they shall fall and never rise up again. And here's what happens to men when they're desperate and they need a touch from God and they need a message from God, is that if they can't find God, they'll just settle on a man-made God. They'll just settle on some falsified doctrine. And I got to say to you that when man gets desperate, he can't seek the upper world, he'll go to the underworld. And this Bible said that whenever you begin to look into it, remember whenever Saul was king of Israel, remember that? And do you remember over there in the book of 1 Samuel chapter number 28, and we're not turned there, but you'll find out that Samuel's already dead. Samuel's that prophet, you know, that went over and reprimanded him because he didn't obey the Lord, because he didn't get rid of the Amalekites whenever God told him to. He came back bringing all those cattle, sheep, and so forth and on, brought Agag, that king. Remember that? And Samuel, whenever he walks up and wants to know, and Saul, he wants to tell him right up front, you know, hey, I've obeyed the Lord. Samuel said that if that be the case, then what means the lowing of these cattle and these sheep and so forth and on? I got to say to you, he said, you don't understand what I'm going to be doing. I'm about to have a big sacrifice. And he said, to obey God would have been better than sacrifices. And as a result of that, you'll find now Samuel is dead. He's gone. And the Bible said that when you begin to look into this lesson that's here, is that old Saul, he looks out and sees all those Philistines, and he's scared to death. And as a result of it, he can't find a preacher that he can get a hold of God with. So what he does is he takes on off out in the country there, and he wants to hire a woman that's got a familiar spirit, the witch of Endor. Remember that? And gets her to go over there and try to call up Samuel from the grave. And as a result of that, she's scared for her life because he's already netted out that you get rid of every witch and every wizard. All of that business in the country. And he said, I'll tell you what I'll do is I'll make sure you're protected. She calls up Samuel, and somehow or another is that you'll find that witch of Endor is that it even scared and shook her. And Samuel asked, why hast thou disquieted me for? I'll tell you why, because I need a touch from God, he says. I need a message from God, and I can't find nobody that'll give it to me. You may find yourself in that state one of these days. And the Bible said that, if you will, please, is that he goes on and tells him, this is what I've been telling you, that God's going to take your kingdom away from you, and he's going to give it to somebody else, and by this time tomorrow, you and your sons will be with me. That means they're dying. I want to say that when you begin to look into this Bible lesson, you'll find is that we ought to recognize and realize is that when God speaks to our heart, we ought to listen. Look in the book of Micah. I want you to turn quickly there. In the book of Micah. Over there in the book of Ezekiel, the Bible said that there was no counsel from God. There was trouble on every side. And he said God's going to recompense them to their own way. In the book of Micah, you can turn past Amos and over there and past Jonah, and there's the book of Micah. Micah, as we look there in chapter number 3, and I want you to watch the passages there. In verse number 1, he goes on and says, and I said, here I pray you, the heads of Jacob, and ye princes of the house of Israel, is it not for you to know judgment, who hate the good and love the evil? That's the world we live in. Who pluck off their skin from them and their flesh from their off their bones, who eat the flesh of my people and flay their skin from them, off them, and they break their bones and chop them in pieces. And as for the pot, and as for the flesh within the caldron, and then shall they cry unto the Lord, but he will not hear them. He will even hide his face from them at that time, and as they have behaved themselves ill in their doings. And thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that make my people err, that bite with their teeth and cry peace, and he that putteth not into their mouths, that they have prepared war against him. Therefore night shall be unto you, and ye shall not have a vision. It shall be dark unto you, and that ye shall not divine. And the sun shall not go over the prophets, and the day shall be dark and over them. And then shall the seers be ashamed, and the diviners confound, and yea, they shall all cover their lips, for there is no answer from God. I'm going to tell you what a sad day and what a sad time that that is. Did you notice there that they had resorted to cannibalism? They had captives. They took and began to cut off their flesh. They began to flay them. They put some of it in a crock pot, their cow drawn, if you please. They put some, and they just resorted to devilment and cannibalism. In this Bible lesson, you'll find, but he said, truly, I'm full of the power of the Spirit of the Lord and judgment of mine. And Jacob, his transgression and to Israel, his sin. Hear this, I pray you, ye heads of house of Jacob and princes of the house of Israel, that abhor judgment and that pervert all equity. They build up Zion with blood and Jerusalem with iniquity. The heads thereof judge for reward, and the priests thereof teach for hire, and the prophets thereof divine for money. And yet will they lean upon the Lord and say, is not the Lord among us? None evil can come upon us. I got to tell you, we live in the day of the hireling. And from the pulpit to the pew, if you're not careful, you'll sell out God and the word of the Lord to be able to powder and to please and to pamper your flesh. Here's what these people are looking at. They don't know where God is. They don't know where to find him. I got to tell you right now, Elijah knows exactly where God is, exactly how to be able to find. And let me tell you, I ain't got to find God. He saved my soul. He lives in my heart. And let me tell you, he knows exactly where I am at every given moment in time. I don't need to try to invent something else to be able to do. See, we get bored easily, don't we? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So as a result of that, we're going to do something that gets rid of our boredom. Oh, yeah. And it don't make any difference if come hell or high water, that's what we're going to have. But I got to tell you right now, God knows exactly where we are, exactly what we're doing, exactly why we're doing it, and exactly if it's the will of God or the word of God or not. I want to say in closing, we'll be done. Twice a day. Oh, Elijah's sitting there. Here comes a raven. And he brings him flesh and brings him bread. You know what the average Baptist in the day we live in? Oh, I don't eat that. I'm not eating it. I'm vegetarian. But go straight to hell with it then and starve to death. See what I'm talking about? You better be careful about somehow or another jumping on somebody else's bandwagon. Are you looking at that and thinking, man, I wonder what kind of bread this, I wonder what kind of bread this is. I wonder what kind of game that was. This flesh that we're, you know, I'm going to tell you something. If you look at a piece of bread and a flag and a flesh or whatever they bring, if you're hungry enough, you won't be looking at it long. You know the reason why in the day we live in, why we don't know what to eat. Now, I guarantee you, some of you sitting right here in the pew right there along with me, along with my wife, I just don't know what I want to eat. I've eaten so much already in this or that and first one thing and another. You know the reason why we're that way? We're not hungry enough. If you get hungry enough, you won't go to analyzing every little thing that's laid before you. You get hungry enough, dear friend, you'll thank God for what he's done, what he's brought, and what he's laid down. I got to say to you, God's always been, he is right now, he will be tomorrow, faithful. And there's old Elijah staying right where God told him to stay. And every day he's drinking out of that brook. And every day that brook's getting a little less in it. And every day that drought's beginning to consume everybody around. And finally, when the brook dries up, you're going to have some fun now. I'm not going to leave you alone out here with just a bunch of ravens. You're going to go and stay with a widow woman. And when we find her, she's picking up two sticks, not a bundle, two sticks. Two sticks. I'm always amazed at these doctors I'm asking. They ask my wife, you know, who has lung cancer, that they say, and all that business there. Do you smoke? No. I asked one the other day, I said, you think we ought to start smoking? Is that what, because, you know, if you get it without it, maybe we ought to start smoking, see if we can get rid of it or something. Oh, no, I couldn't dare say that. I'd lose my job. You know, folks, in the day we live in, they live under such a drudgery, depressing circumstances, they have no sense of humor. Of course, she laughed, you know. She laughed and went home. She's a good sport. You'd be surprised. I talk to some people that never laugh. They never crack a smile. It's like they wake up in the morning, God bless me if you can. But you can't. But you can't bless them kind of people. And I got to tell you right now, I don't even worry about it. I don't even try to. The older that I get, I don't know if I just don't care or I've learned to rest in the Lord. It don't bother me one. If I know I'm right with God and obedient to God and in step with God, I really don't give a rip what anybody else thinks about it one way or the other. See, am I what I ought to be? No. But I thank God I'm not what I used to be. See? Are you saved this morning? Rejoice and be glad in the Lord. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. We ask your blessings now upon these that have gathered here today. Lord, I pray if there's one lost without God, you'd save their soul. May, Lord, they rejoice and be glad you saved them and bring us to a place that we might be able to rejoice with them, that they might make it known unto thee. And we'll say thank you, Lord, for loving us even while we were unlovable in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.